real loser in heaven, Father. How many times
have you felt like a loser? But in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Him. How awesome that truth is. How much we need to remember and know that truth. Because being a disciple of Jesus in today's marketplace is not easy. It's sometimes downright dangerous. Still, we are called. We are called to be disciples 24/7, 365 days a year. There's not a vacation. There's not retirement. We are called to be His year after year. It is a journey with joy, and it is a journey with pain, with hope, and with frustration. There are obstacles, and there are opportunities all along the way. So today I'd like for you to join me on a little pretend journey through your life and through our lives as disciples. So as we do that, I'm going to be doing something a little bit unusual. Hope you guys are getting me back there. All right. I need a volunteer. Okay, I was hoping for a younger volunteer. Come on. All right. I'll be on this side next. All right. You don't even know what you're volunteering for. You might want to wait until the first one, you know. All right. Come here. We all start young. You remember starting young? Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm with you. Yeah. I don't know that I remember. How old are you?
Eight.
I was 1 year younger than you when I made my profession of faith in Jesus Christ. So this is pretty close. We start out young. We start out thinking, I'm saved now. Jesus forgiven me. This is the most exciting thing in the world. Can you be as exciting as, you know, can you just be like you've just discovered the most exciting thing in the world? I think that's probably how I looked when I was seven. I was like, yeah, okay, all right, fine. All right. We don't really know what's in front of us. She doesn't have a clue what's coming next, right? None of us do. And so what we need to recognize is that whenever we start this journey, we start this journey beginning with true devotion. If we're going to endure all the way to the end, we've got to start right. So let me read some scripture. You can go sit down now. All right. Let me read a passage of scripture for you. It'll be up on the screen behind me. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying these words. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Clearly recalling your sincere faith and that first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, that I am convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. When we start this journey, recognizing that God is at work, bringing us an endurance that we don't even know that we're going to need in the early days. All right? But it starts with true devotion. Let me encourage you today as we begin this little journey of life, walking our way down the aisle here. Do you remember how you started? If you don't, maybe it's time to just kind of refresh that sense of devotion to God. We've talked about it a number of different times. But I think sometimes one of the things that happens that we get sidetracked along the way is that we start out so devoted, but we start running into obstacles along the way. You know, we have to sidestep. We feel like we need to move to the left or to the right to get out of the way of things that are happening. And the reality is that we think somehow or other, maybe we chose wrong, we did something wrong because We thought when we accepted Jesus, everything was going to be fine. How many of y'all thought that when you first started? That when you accepted Jesus, everything was going to be great, you know? Your sins were forgiven, and now God was on your side, so hey, everything's going to be cool, right? I can remember thinking that when I was young. Doesn't really work out that way, does it? That's why it's important for you to understand, for me to understand, for our kids to understand that your faith is what it's all about, not the results. That our faith is there so that we endure. It is your faith that is to endure, not your safety. Think about that. So often what we think is that we accept Jesus and now everything's going to be cool and I won't have all those problems. I won't have to go through all those dangerous times. I won't have to go through all of that stuff that, you know, people talk about in their testimonies that, ooh, I'd love to avoid that. And, you know, sometimes you can. Sometimes God calls us in places, to places, in circumstances where just because we've said yes to Jesus, the circumstances don't immediately change. Sometimes they even get harder. Talk to people in the persecuted church and they will tell you. It's your faith that is to endure, not your safety. And the second thing I would say about that is that it's His promise and power that makes it all possible. If you really want to know how you're going to make it through, well, let me read some scripture for you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, He will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God is faithful. By Him you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He says He will confirm you to the end. Your faith is what matters. Your trusting in Him is what matters. As you begin the journey, as you get started on this whole process of life, it is that promise that makes a difference. And some of us are pretty young when we get started. Like I said, I was 7. Some of you were maybe even younger than me when you get started in your journey. And it's important for us to hear these words of Paul. No one should despise your youth. This is from 1 Timothy 4:12. No one should despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Think about that. Kids, teenagers, sometimes you live in homes where, you know, maybe the language at your house isn't all that it ought to be. Maybe you can be the role model and the example. Maybe you live in a situation where the actions don't match up with the maybe even intention of parents or siblings. And you have to endure and put up with stuff. Maybe you can be the example. That's what faith does. That's what trust in Him does. That's what this journey is all about. Now I need a second volunteer. Who's going to help me? All right, come on over. All right. Our endurance grows with tested faith. Womp, womp, womp. Now, have you ever had to take a test in school? A million of them. All right. That's all? Just wait. There's history, geography, physics, all these kinds of things looking forward in your future. You got more tests to come.
Well, I'm only in third grade, and
the
spelling is every week.
I know. Isn't it horrible? Spelling is every week. All right. But those are tests that come. Those are trials that come. Can you do any? Can you get out of them? No, that's right. You can't get out of them, can you? All right, you got to take them. You know what? Tests in your life and in my life are exactly the same way. We can't get out of them. How many of you have prayed to get out of them? Come on, be honest. How many of you prayed to get out of them? All right. Wrong answer. We should not pray to get out of them. We should pray not to fail them. Because our faith, going through those trials, grows us and grows our endurance. And the goal is for us to make it all the way to the end. How far can you run?
I say maybe across the backyard of my grandma's house.
All right. I've seen that backyard. It's not that far. Can you run a mile? Yeah, you don't really want to find out, do you? All right. Okay. So you know, we don't know how far we can run until we have to or choose to. All right? Thanks. You did a good job. Appreciate that. All right. So our faith has to be tested. Let me read a passage of Scripture that talks of that. From James chapter 1. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, and lacking nothing. So what's been that biggest test of faith of yours so far? Death of a child? Broken relationship or marriage? It's a rhetorical question, Will. It's one of the problems I have with you guys, because you want to answer every question, and I think it's awesome. But right now, we want to think about it. Okay? What's been your biggest test? What is it that God has put on your plate that you need to deal with? What's the one thing that you're praying for? But you're praying, actually, for God not to ask you to do it. Oh, Lord, please don't make me this. And when I was growing up, it was always parents not wanting their kids to be called into foreign missions because they'd be away from them and they'd never see their grandchildren. That's not so much the case anymore because there's Skype and there's all these things that you can at least have contact. But in times past, there was no contact for years, except maybe letters. What's the one thing you're praying God's not going to ask you to give up? Yeah, don't take my house away from me. Don't take my children away from me. Don't take my this. Don't take my that. What is the trial that you know in your heart would be the biggest test for you? Don't pray to escape it. Pray to have strength if God calls you through it. Because the goal is to make it to the end. It's not to just endure this moment. I know sometimes it feels that way. But what God is after is growing your faith so that you trust Him no matter what comes as you walk down this journey to the end. You keep walking. Your faith continues to be tested. Your life continues to be a struggle. And you begin to question. And I know it's hard for some of y'all to see me and to watch me as I'm this far down the aisle. We don't have the chairs in a circle. So I'm going to stop at this point, and I'm going to ask you to just keep imagining I'm walking down all the way to the back. Because otherwise, some of y'all are going to have neck problems, and you're going to accuse me of creating it for you. But I want you to understand something. We are not promised an easy life. We are not promised a life that allows us to just do whatever we want to as long as we come to church and acknowledge that Jesus is who He says He is and trust that that's going to be okay. That's not what it's about. What we need to recognize is that we are called to a life that is designed to be characterized by the cross. And the cross is an implement of death. It is a means of torture. What are your expectations as you walk through your life? One of the things that happens to us as we go along is that we start off with great devotion and great expectations and so happy to be His. And we want to have everything work out for us so that we can just say, look at how great a Christian we are. When in reality, our greatness as Christians are characterized by our faith in the times of testing. Not how easy our life is.
Endurance remains. Endurance begins with true devotion. It grows with tested faith. And it remains with an honest expectation. Hear what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 14, about what the disciples and therefore we should expect. Then they will hand you over for persecution, and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will take offense, betraying one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be delivered. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Endurance goes all the way to the end. That's what we're called to. And therefore, we need to have an honest, real, biblical expectation of what our life in Christ is supposed to be like. As we continue to walk down that road, that as best we can, straight and narrow road of discipleship in Christ, we need to recognize that faith is not a denial of pain and suffering. Pain and suffering comes. It's trusting God through it. It's when the hurts come, can you trust Him to see you through to the other side? When people abuse you and hurt you and mistreat you, do you count it joy, as we heard earlier, and look towards Jesus' working? Now, some of us look forward to Jesus' working by getting them back. When in reality, discipleship says, I'm going to trust you no matter what, whether anybody in my living memory ever gets a chance to say I'm sorry to me. Whether I ever see anybody get what's coming to them. Endurance looks forward. It doesn't look backwards. It keeps moving forward. The last thing I would say to you is we get to the end. The culmination of this process that we see in Paul's life evidence is endurance remains with an ultimate hope. When you are dealing with trials, when you are dealing with the tests of your faith, when you have an honest expectation that, yes, I am not owed an easy or a comfortable life, but instead, I know that I have to keep looking forward. What am I looking forward to? It is the ultimate hope that we have in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the future there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing. That's the hope. That's what we're headed for. You say, well, I'm not much on running races. Me either. I can remember when I was in high school, there was this thing that they made us do in gym. It was right at the height of when they were beginning to make everybody actually do stuff in gym. You know, it used to be that you just went to gym and you played and then, you know, you went back to class. Now, all of a sudden, it was like somebody told them, no. You need to have kids, you know, really work out, you know, and do. So that what they would do is they'd say, all right, there's the track. Everybody in gym class has to run for 20 minutes. Have you ever run for 20 minutes? As an adult, I would just probably say no. As a student, I did not have that option. It's one of those tests that I did not get a chance to say no to. But one of the things that they did allow me to do was you had to run, but you could walk some. Some of us walked a lot more than others, and we were graded on how far we got. So obviously, if you're walking, you're not getting as far as if you're running. Although, if you've ever seen me run, there's not a whole lot of difference. The bottom line is, every one of us has been given the assignment to run for however many minutes God gives you. Some of us choose to walk. Some of us, there are seasons in our life when we need to walk. There are, according to Paul, even some seasons in life where the best that we can do is to stand and not give up. But then we start walking. And if possible, we start running. Because we realize that our role is not to end this life with a whole lot in reserve. Paul was talking about, hey, you know, I finished the course. I've kept the faith. You know, I've been poured out like a drink offering. There's nothing left in me. I've left it all out on the field, as they say. How many of us could say that we're really headed in that direction? That when it comes to our faith walk in Jesus Christ, we really are ready to lay it all out on the field. We're ready to run all the way to the end. I've got to tell you, there are days when I really wish there was a true retirement plan in the faith. And I could just say, okay, I'm going to get to this point, and then I can quit having to push. It's not scriptural. Oh, we might change jobs, we might change vocations, we might change ministries, but we never stop. Because we run the race to endure. Paul's example is hope. His example is hope to us that we can make it to the end, regardless of the obstacles. You remember what Paul had to endure, right? How many times he was beaten, how many times he was left for dead, stoned outside the city, chased outside of town, rejected by his own people, chased out by people who he had gone to try and reach and to save. We've heard the stories of missionaries who have gone to countries and literally had their lives taken, only for God to use that process of their lives being taken to bring the gospel and the good news of forgiveness and grace to a people who otherwise would never have received it. Paul's example is our hope. Paul's example is that there is hope. Paul's example is that we are to follow him. Ultimately, our faithful devotion to Christ is the measure of our discipleship. Let me say that again. Ultimately, our faithful devotion to Christ is the measure of our discipleship. Are you truly devoted to Him? Are we living as His in every season and every struggle of our lives? Are we, as Paul says, loving His appearing? Really and truly, are we looking forward to being with Jesus? For those of us who are on a discipleship path, who are headed all the way down the path, Paul's example is our hope and our devotion, which leads to our faith, which leads to our recognition of Him in every aspect of our lives, including and especially the trials of our lives. Lead us to looking forward to that day when we are united physically and in face-to-face ways with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faithful to the end. Growing to the end. Serving to the end. That's what it's about. Are you following Paul's example? Am I following Paul's example? That's the measure of our discipleship. Will we see our faith as that which leads us through? Or are we only looking for escape from the things of life? But are we looking at those trials as ways in which we can evidence to a world that Jesus really does make a difference, that He really does matter? Are we following Paul's example? Are we following Christ's example? Are you setting the example for those who will follow you? Really, all this is about is about leaving a heritage of faith. Will you be an example of faith that then communicates to those who follow you, whether they are in your family,
whether they're in your small group or Bible study class, or whether they are friends and co-workers or classmates, are those around you seeing the example you're setting as one that is reflective of Jesus, reflective of the path that Paul was on to communicate the gospel to others, the path of living a life that no matter what the circumstances were, he was ready to do what it took to win all those that he could? If we're going to be disciples, if we're going to be honest about being Jesus' disciples, some of us need to evaluate where we are in the path. See some of those places where maybe we've just tried to short-circuit it or get off the path because it got hard or got tough or we weren't sure we could trust God through that. And we need to get back on track with Him. Would you join me in prayer? Father, this message is yours. It's all about you. It's for you. And so I ask the Father in the name of Jesus to burn it into our hearts. Help us to make the decisions we need to make right now so that we're yours. We're following you and not just kind of trying to make our own way. Lord, you've been talking to those in this room, parents and grandparents, students, children. Wherever we are on the journey, Father, would you help us? Help us to take that next step with you. Pray in Jesus' name.